Amen. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Not sure about you, but we're sensing something. We're sensing a shift. And as the song was going on, this thought kept going through my mind that as we go through tough times, we really are being set up. We're being set up not by the enemy, but by God himself to say, let me show you what I am famous for. When the lions come, when the mouths begin to roar and things get really uncomfortable, or the fiery furnace gets seven times hotter than it normally is and you are being threatened, God is setting us up for revealing who he is and his power in our life. So when we're facing these challenges, we are in a great place for God to do what he's ready to do. Amen. A little excited this morning. Happy good morning and Merry Christmas. How about that? Praise God. Well, Merry Christmas to you all and to those who are watching us from home. It's a great time to celebrate, great time to reflect on what God is doing in and through our lives. Amen? Amen. It's such a joyous time for us, this particular season. Usually it's a time of lights and festivities and for gifts and celebration of what Jesus has done in his arrival. And so this story here that we're about to read this morning from Luke chapter 1 really is an unpacking of the gift of Jesus himself into our lives. You know, in Luke chapter 1, before the story of Mary, which the scriptures will be up here in a minute, but the story of Mary, we're told about Zacharias. Zacharias was married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth. They were relatives of Mary. Mary was a relative specifically of Elizabeth. And so the angel came, Gabriel came and visited Zacharias, who was a priest, and visited him there in the temple and said to him, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. And Zacharias says, what prayer? Not really in those words, but that's just my translation of it. And he says, you will have a son. And so Zacharias says, how can this be, being that we are old? And he says, well, you won't be able to speak for a while because you didn't believe what I said, because I came directly from God to give you this message that the prayer that you prayed years ago, maybe decades ago, God is ready to answer at this particular time. And so he returns home and with his wife, and she conceives in her old age, and she has hidden herself there for 6 months. And the same Gabriel that went to go visit him, Zacharias, is now visiting Mary in the story that we're going to read here this morning together. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 down to verse 38. From the New Living this morning, it says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth will become pregnant, has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said to me come true. And the angel left her. Can we pray together? Lord, we just thank you for your goodness over us. We thank you for your tangible touch over our lives here this morning. We thank you for allowing us to gather, whether here, Lord God, or virtually. I pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would communicate to us in a way that we can understand. Minister to us, slow our hearts down, slow our furious thoughts down. Cause the dust to settle and speak with clarity to us, Lord God, in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of the Old Testament prophecies that were spoken about the coming Messiah are being fulfilled here at this particular time, the biggest event in history where God invades humanity, what we call the incarnation. is this particular story. And so we just picked an excerpt from it. And as Luke opens up, he's not focusing on King Herod. He's not focusing on the emperor of Rome. He's not even focusing on the high priest. But instead, he's writing about everyday common people used by God to usher in the Messiah. And after Gabriel meets with Zacharias, he appears to this young Mary here in Nazareth, and Mary is chosen to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. I'm not sure if James has time to pull up Matthew 1:23 for us or not, but if he does, that would be awesome. Where Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us. It's a beautiful story about God taking care of people and doing extraordinary things. And as we take a closer look, we realize that this is not just a nice story about how a young virgin was used by God to deliver Jesus, but as we take a look, we see that this is a pattern for us to learn from, because God is doing something in her life, and he's doing something very similar in your life and my life, but we got to peel a layer or two back. Are you ready this morning? I'm not convinced, but she becomes an example then for every believer, not only Mary, but the very God who was on the inside of Mary. Emmanuel, God with us. I'd like to use the acrostic, or the acronym GOD this morning, G-O-D, to draw an illustration to bring this point closer to home. The G is for gifted or graced. Take your pick, either gifted or graced. Something was gifted to her or graced to her, given to her. The O is for ordained, which means an appointed task to grow in her. And then the D is for delivered through her. So gifted to her, ordained to grow in her, and then delivered to her, or G-O-D, because she has on the inside God, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's begin with the first one, gifted to her. God's wisdom is selecting this unknown young lady to be the carrier of Emmanuel, this young lady from Nazareth. And one person once said in John chapter 1, verse 46, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This is an unknown place. This is an unknown territory. There's nothing godly that happens there. There's nothing good that happens there. And so the Bible is telling us that this young woman was a virgin. And she was a descendant of King David, yet she was living very, very poor. Maybe she was poor in her earthly possessions, but she was about to get extremely, extremely rich and wealthy as she receives this particular inheritance. And she was espoused to a carpenter from Nazareth named Joseph. And by the way, in the Jewish custom, this happened over three stages. Marriage happened over three stages. First, you were spoken for or espoused, which means usually the parents would talk behind the scenes and say, "My son for your daughter," and they would kind of work things out, details there in the background. And then the second stage, you were espoused, which means there was an official contract, okay, even though you weren't consummated yet in marriage, but this was an official contract. And if you were to break it off, it would actually be a legal divorce that would take place at that time. And then comes the actual consummation or the marriage, where the bride and groom go to live in one home together and live happily ever after. And so here they are at the stage where the official contract has been drawn, okay, but they haven't consummated the marriage as of yet. And the angel comes to her and says to her, "You're going to have a son." And so some people believe there is something unique about Mary, something very special about her, and that's why she was chosen by God. And you know what? Perhaps she did have some amazing qualities, but to focus on that would miss the point of what we're trying to communicate. Because God chooses those who are not special. God doesn't choose those who are extraordinary. He chooses the very, very ordinary, sometimes the less than ordinary. And he says the least likely to succeed is the person that I am going to choose to select to do this here. For example, when God came to look for a man to create a nation out of, he picked a very ordinary man. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and says, "I want you to leave your father's house and your country, and I want you to go to the land that I will show you." No one would have known who this man was unless God had placed his hand on him. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Abraham, or his grandson Jacob. Nobody would have known Jacob unless God's hand would have been upon him, or Joseph, who was a 17-year-old runt little kid who would tattletale on his brothers, who was a spoiled little brat. But nobody would have known who he was unless God's hand would have been upon him. Or young Esther, who was exiled. Nobody would have known who she was unless God's hand was on her life. Or in the New Testament context, the ordinary fisherman who, again, we never would have known who John and Peter and James and Andrew and the rest were unless God's hand was on their life. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that God is using very ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. What that means is you and I are set up in a great place because God doesn't change. And the same God who did something incredible back then is the same God who is here with us today. And so here, he's choosing Mary to be the carrier of the Messiah and in bringing the good news. He says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Before the miracle of conception is to take place, he wants Mary to know her value in heaven's eyes, in God's eyes. And this is an expression of God's grace. This is the starting point. This is what we call salvation. When a person begins to hear heaven, begins to hear heaven call, whether through your own Bible reading or you're hearing a preacher talk to you or perhaps a song, a worship song or something, and you're hearing grace being extended to you and you are a recipient of that grace, we call that salvation. But that is just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning of the journey. We don't just get saved, come to church week after week, year after year, decade after decade, and then we die, and then we go to heaven. No. This is just the beginning because God is doing something in our lives. And so the same favor and acceptance of Mary belongs then to every single believer. And in Christ, we are all accepted in the Beloved. In Christ, we are all accepted in the Beloved. She here is receiving acceptance, but we are all accepted in the Beloved. And many would say, you know what, not me, because I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. Or simply choose to walk away from God or say something like, I've messed up too badly. I am not a good recipient of the grace of God. But can I say something to you? The Bible tells us that his mercies are new upon us every morning. Great is his faithfulness to us. And so included in our salvation is the calling to conceive. And listen, all living seeds grow and become fruitful. If there is a living seed that is planted in the right soil and nourished, it is going to produce a level of fruit. And in verse 31, the angel speaking said, "You will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus," which means, by the way, Jehovah is salvation. God is salvation. "And he will be called, and he will be great and called the Son of the Highest." What he's saying is that there is a supernatural occurrence that is about to take place. The Lord of all creation is about to take up residence on the inside of you. What? The God of creation wants to live inside of you. And so Mary asks in verse 34, "How can this happen since I am a virgin?" In other words, there's nothing in the natural that would cause this to happen. So how is this going to happen? Remember, she's a teenager right now. She doesn't have the vast experience. She doesn't have the vast Bible knowledge. She's a simple teenager from a village. And so she's trying to reason in her mind the way that you and I try to reason in our mind and asking in the natural, how can this be? How can this be? And sometimes you and I will ask similar questions when someone makes this statement to you, like God wants to do something in your life, and you ask yourself, how can this be? How is it that God wants to take up residence on the inside of me? And the simple answer is this. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to overshadow you. And he's going to place a seed inside. Inside. And that's how we're saved. We are saved by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to get saved. He impregnates us, if you will, with the seed of faith so that we can have that connection with the Lord. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians 4:19. He's saying, "My dear children, for whom again I labor with the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So until Christ is what? Until he is formed in you. Again, in Galatians 2:20, he is saying, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He's taken up residence in me." And in Colossians 1:27, it says, "To them God willed to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." There's like 12 different verses that speak just to this concept here. Christ living on the inside of you. I won't share all 12. But this blessing that it's for each of us, that Christ would dwell and take up residence inside of us. And so just as Mary heard the good news and she believed, we're to realize that we've been also highly favored by God. And there's a seed that has been planted and given to every believer. And that's the seed of faith in Christ himself. placed in good soil and given enough water, which is the word of God, it's going to grow and grow naturally. How does that happen? How will the Holy Spirit be with me? How will Jesus reside on the inside of me? And how can he take residence in me when there's so much darkness? That's a really important question to ask. How can he take up residence inside of me when there is so much darkness? Again, the answer, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God has a way of creating something out of nothing, and he is drawn to that level of darkness and creating light where light did not exist before. You see, how do you know that? Genesis 1, verse 2 says this, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was doing what? Hovering over the face of the waters." Where? In the darkness. Ready to do what? Ready to bring life. Ready to bring light. Ready to bring hope. Ready to bring restoration. And the Spirit of God is drawn to restore light into those dark areas of our lives. So if you are struggling with something, again, you are a great candidate for something miraculous that God wants to do in your life today. But you've got to believe it like the simple peasant girl did. Just like Mary believed, we have to also be willing to believe. He's drawn to those voids, to those hurts in our life. And Jesus put it this way in Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed." He is drawn to that level of pain. And so Jesus here wants to be born into that area of your life that previously had darkness. And those areas that were written off, God wants to do a miracle in that particular place. That's why we cling to the scriptures, because the seed of the scriptures is what impregnates us. I know it sounds kind of funny, but spiritually, that's how it works. The seed of the scriptures impregnates us with faith. And when watered by the same word, will bring forth abundant kind of fruit into our lives, because God's word is powerful. And it brings meaning to what was once formless and impossible, and the seed will grow. The seed will grow, which brings us to our second point this morning, which is ordained, appointed to a task, appointed to grow within her. Not just grace given to her, but to grow on the inside of her. And this is kind of the heart of the message, because many of us here have received Jesus at one point or another. Maybe perhaps if you're watching online, you received Christ at one point or another, but there's a second step to that, and that is that Christ now needs to grow on the inside. I hope you're ready this morning, because I'm a little excited. To grow in her. Before Mary sees any evidence of a baby, when you read later on in the story, and I encourage you to go back and read Luke 1, 2, and 3 to get a full essence of what's going on, the Bible says that she goes and she visits her relative Elizabeth. And here we see the wisdom of God leading Mary to find direction and encouragement. Now that she's received that seed and the word of promise coming from the angel, the first thing she does is she goes and speaks to Elizabeth. People are important and they have a role to play in our lives, because Elizabeth is further along in the process than she is. And it's good for her to hang out with Elizabeth, and it's good for us to hang out with those who are further along in the faith that have received something already, because they have much to teach us, much that we can learn from. And so make sure you're hanging out with people that can build you up, people that can encourage you along the path. There are lots of naysayers and people who say it doesn't work, and people who are critical and judgmental and harsh and cynical. There are lots of those. Don't hang out with those folks. Hang out with the folks like she found Elizabeth. She's saying there's a relative of mine. And you know what I want to say to you? There's a relative of yours in the body of Christ. Maybe not literally, physically, like they don't carry your actual last name. But if we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, then there's a relative that you have. Young women, go find an older woman in the Lord. Young men, go find a man in the Lord and go speak with them and say, you know what? I think I'm hearing the sounds of grace in my ears. I'm not really sure what to do about it. I don't know what steps to take. take next, but you've been down this road already, so would you help walk me through the process? Because I'm beginning to feel a rumbling. I just don't understand all that's going on right now on the inside. I'm getting a little excited. I'm getting a little passionate. Everything is beginning to change in me and around me, but I don't fully understand. Would you teach me how this works? And she goes, and she spends a good 3 months with Elizabeth. Because something is happening. I really do want to encourage you, if you are further along in the faith, I really want to encourage you to take someone under your wing, someone who you pray and God will say, you know what, go speak to so-and-so and connect with them. Meet with them at least once a week and talk to them on a regular basis and impart wisdom and impart life into them. And if you are the younger person, you say, I don't really know very much. Look for an older person who's been in the Lord for a minute and say, hey, could you help me walk this thing out? Could you help me figure out what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it? Like, how do you do this? And you'll notice something else about this growing inside of her is that as the seed grows, she's changing. What's that? As the seed inside of young Mary grows, she begins to change. A facial glow will gradually happen over a pregnant woman. We were pregnant twice. Obviously, everybody here, you know, you've seen pregnant women. You know that there's a certain glow that happens, a certain radiance that happens over the face of someone who is about to give birth. And others will notice a glow in your face and a peaceable kind of joy, a radiance, because there is a seed that is living on the inside. And this happens more and more as you spend time in the presence of God. The more that you spend time in the presence of God, the way that Moses did, the way that he went up into the mountain and was there praying for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down, they said that they had to cover his face with a veil because the radiance that exuded from him, people couldn't look at him. He was radiant. He was radiant. Has anyone ever said to you that at a certain point in your life, there's a certain radiance that comes that exudes from you? That's God living on the inside of you. That's God using you to display his glory, to display his goodness, to display his favor on your life. But not just that, but there's also a changing of clothing that happens for women that are pregnant. And all the pregnant women said, yeah, you have to change your clothing. You can't have the same thing. What I put on changes. What I wear changes. My previous tight-fitting clothing, drawing attention to myself, is not going to work anymore. What's that? The clothing that were drawn, that were used to get the attention of others, is not going to work anymore. And when people do that, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Don't do that. Instead, we're told in the scriptures to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on and make no provisions for the flesh, and don't draw attention to yourself, because now we're drawing attention to him as the master. My life is no longer about me, but it's about him. I'm not concerned about what you think about me. I'm concerned, what do you think about him? Change of clothing. There's also a heightened sense of smell. You walk into a room, pregnant women will tell you this, they walk into a room and if there's a certain kind of smell, then they either get really happy or really grossed out and disgusted. I'm not sure why. But there's a heightened sense of smell. You become cautious of where you go and who you're around. And everything now in your life revolves around the seed that you are carrying on the inside. Everything about you is about that. Not that that smell is wrong or bad, or not that that setting itself is wrong or bad, but you just realize I can't be in certain environments the way that I was before. I can't go to those certain places that I used to go before. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be put under the power of any. In other words, it is not good for me to be in every single setting, in every single place of company. I need to be selective now that I'm carrier. Now that I'm realizing that I'm a carrier of the Messiah, I need to be very selective on where I am and the company that I keep, because that has an impact on who I am carrying. The part that I love the most about being pregnant is the appetite, the increased appetite. There's an insatiable increased appetite, yes? Mocha? Chocolate? Increased appetite. I have this insatiable appetite for the word of God when I have this impregnation on the inside and I can't get enough of the presence of God. I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, I went and got me this really, really expensive, really big Bible that I carried with me everywhere. This is before we used to have smartphones, before we had phones, period. People didn't carry phones with them back when I was... Anyway, that was a long, long time ago. So I would take this Bible with me everywhere. Why? Because I wanted to go to work and I would read scriptures before I walk in the door. And when I left work, before I go home, I wanted to read some more scriptures. And I would go during my lunch break and go sit in the car and go read more of the Word. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. There's this insatiable appetite for the Word of God. And that's how you know that the seed is beginning to grow on the inside of you. When I don't have an appetite for that, there is something terribly wrong. If in the natural there was a pregnant woman and she doesn't want to eat, the doctor is going to make some serious recommendations because that baby in there needs nourishment. In order for that seed to grow, it needs to be taken care of. It needs to have its vitamins and its minerals and all the other things that it needs to have. And you can't just ignore it. You need to be able to feed it. But you find that when things are healthy, you're just naturally hungry. Is anybody else hungry all the time? Just hungry all the time. You just finished dinner and you're like half an hour later, you're like, do we have any leftovers? We need to get that way spiritually speaking. Saying, God, I can't get enough of you. It's not about going to church necessarily, but it's about, God, I wanna open the word. I wanna see what you are writing for me specifically and personally. I wanna receive what you have for me. This is your love letter for me personally. And so faith for her and godly fellowship will do that. When you have faith, when you have a genuine faith and you're around godly people, it will increase these things that we spoke about in your life, and it will cause your faith to grow and Jesus to grow on the inside of you. And Mary accepts God's grace. And Mary accepts the growing process. And now it's time for delivery. Are you ready for this morning's message? Now comes the delivery part. Delivered through her. Jesus delivered during some of the most trying of times. The Bible tells us as you read the story that he wasn't born in a regular home and he certainly wasn't born in a palace. You know where he was born? He was born in a stable. He was born in a barn. And I envision as I read the story and I reflect on the story, and it's good for you as you read to reflect on what you're reading and to place yourself there. I can envision her as she's thinking about what is going on as she's going through this process, and she is recalling the words of Gabriel about her son being great and that Jesus would be the son of the highest and the Lord God's going to give him the throne of his father David, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there's going to be no end. And she is in a barn, in a stable. It's not bad enough that she had to travel some 80 miles from Nazareth, from Galilee, from up north, to travel down because the king decides that he wants to have a census and he wants people to be counted by household. And her household, originally, she belongs to the house of David. He comes from Bethlehem and she's saying, I got to travel 80 plus miles and I am really, really pregnant and I got to tell my fiance, husband-to-be, that we're going to make this journey down to the south. It's for 2 or 3 days. We're on donkey back. They weren't driving. There was no Uber. There was no shuttle. There was no Lyft. There was nothing. They had to get on a donkey and step by step go these 80 plus miles. And when they finally arrive there, they're knocking on every door of every inn. But because of the census and because of the people traveling back and forth, there's no room for them in any of the hotels, any of the inns. And so what she finds is door keeps closing after door continues to close. So what they find is a barn that is dark and cold and smelly, and she's pretty much alone, and she's giving birth to the Son of God, and she places Jesus in a feeding trough. She's probably thinking, where are God's promises? Gabriel, the one who appeared the one who appeared to Daniel, the one who appeared to Zacharias, to give really, really important news. This is news coming from God, news coming from heaven. You will have a son. He will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. He will rule and reign over the people, and over his rule there will be no end. This is a really, really important event that's about to take place. And she is knocking on door after door after door, and all the doors keep closing in her face, and she is cold, and it's dark, and she's tired. I'm sure her ankles are swollen. I'm sure she's irritable by this point. And Joseph, poor thing, he doesn't know what to do. Just like most guys in these scenarios, like, what do I do? I have no idea what to do. Somebody help me. No mother there, no grandmother, no mother-in-law. She's alone. What does she do? What does she do? Could this be God's plan? Is it possible that God forsook me in my most trying time? Is that possible? And you've heard this statement said before, but I think it's worth repeating. The faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. It's a famous quote. The faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And perhaps you received a promise from God and you experienced exactly the opposite of what you were hoping or envisioning. And this difficult time is what makes Jesus then accessible. What's that? The difficult time that she's facing is what makes Jesus accessible. What do you mean? Everyone has access to a barn. Because had he been born in a palace, not everyone would have access to him. But God's wisdom saw to it that he wasn't born behind closed doors of a closed private room in a hotel or an inn or a house. He saw to it that Jesus would be born in a stable so that everyone would be able to approach if they chose. It wasn't that God forgotten Mary. It wasn't that God said, oops, I ran out of ideas, and Mary, sorry, deal with this one on your own. Like, no. God was saying, this is my plan. This is, maybe you envision something different, but don't put your envisioning onto me. I told you what is going to happen, and I will bring it about the way that I see best, the way that I see fit. We don't tell God how to do what he promised us to do. We just simply say, Lord, whatever you want done in my life, so be it. Even if it means taking this difficult, challenging road, which most often it is a very difficult and challenging road. That's just the way things work, and the same is true with us. The same is true with us. Difficult times you face and how Jesus is delivered out of you makes Jesus accessible. What's that? The difficult times that you face and how Jesus is delivered out of you makes him accessible. People can relate to your pain, and they're drawn to grace when you reveal that grace in the process. When you extend grace in the process. Delivery for us is allowing Jesus to be revealed and not ourselves. Delivery for you and me is to allow him to be revealed and not we ourselves. Sometimes I want to appear in the picture. Sometimes you want to appear in the picture. But when the master arrives, only he can appear in the picture. And it's not about what people think. Because God's going to bring her confirmation to let her know that she's on the right path. What do you mean? Shepherds that night will see a host of angels. And they will say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And the shepherds will witness the host of angels singing this in the beautiful, beautiful song, if you will. And they come and they report these things to Mary and to Joseph to reassure her and to let her know. Just like God will come to you and to me to reassure us that we're on the right path, right? Even though the circumstances don't look very promising. To remind you that God is still in control. To remind you that God still has a plan. To remind you that you are in the right place. So long as your heart is directed towards him, can I say to you that you are in the right place? So long as you're not walking in rebellion towards God, God has you exactly where he wants you, and he can direct your life exactly how he wants to direct your life. And at some point later, even wise men will come from the east and bring out their gifts, and they'll bow down, the Bible says, and they will worship him, and they'll give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and present their gifts to him. And this, again, will be a confirmation to Mary and to Joseph that they are doing the right thing, but they had to reveal Jesus. In other words, they had to reveal his character. And what am I saying? I'm saying that when you receive the grace of God and you allow the grace of God to grow on the inside of you, now comes the test. When every door is shut in your face and people have turned their backs on you and you find yourself alone, how do you respond? The way that you respond will reveal the grace of God that is on the inside of you. That's the delivery that we're talking about. Because it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, all have abandoned me, and they have all turned their backs on me, but may it not be counted against them. Why? Because the Lord himself stood with me. Circumstances don't look good. Door after door after door keeps closing in my face and things aren't working out, but how I respond to that. Well, I don't mean respond in a public kind of a setting. I'm talking about responding in the privacy of my own thoughts, in my own home, in my own room. How do I respond? Am I responding with a gentle, Lord, I trust you. I trust you and I worship you. And I want to make that accessible to everyone and allow people to see the grace of God that is in my life, that is extended to others. Delivery. And the key to the miracle is simply let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. You know what? Gabriel wouldn't have been able to do anything with her, and she wouldn't have received that seed planted on the inside of her if she had refused. Can I tell you, there are many that refuse, and there are many that stunt the process, where the reality is simply this: God, you know so much better than I do. You are so much wiser than I am. And when you created me with specific abilities and specific traits and specific giftings at this particular time, which means you want to do something specific right now at this specific time. So what I'm going to choose to do is I'm going to choose to trust you, that you're extending grace towards me because you want Jesus to grow through me and you want the right kind of response and delivery to come out of my life. When you and I lash out at people in anger, it's an indication that there's a level of healing that needs to take place on the inside. It doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't make you an evil person or a person for people to ignore. No. It just means there's a level of pain on the inside that needs to be healed. And can I share with you, the healer is in the house? Jesus went around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Whatever healing you need in your mind, in your heart, of your past, because of family, because of friends, because of whatever circumstances, the healer is here and ready saying, I want to bring healing, but I want to extend grace to you first. But you've got to open the door so that when he knocks, I've got to be willing to say, yes, Lord, let me open that door and allow you to do in me what you desire to do, and let me hand you every key to every room in my heart. I don't want to withhold anything from you. I'm not going to say to you, oh, here's my church key. You can have my church key. You can have my ministry key. You can have my preaching key. But that home key, or that cupboard key, or the snacks, or that key to snacks, everything belongs to you. Everything is at your disposal. Come and do what only you can do. And she says to the angel, let it be to me according to your word. I'll close with this thought. When she says, let it be to me according to your word, the phrase that she used there is the word rhema. Rhema simply means your specific word to me right now. Not the general word. The general word is referred to as logos. Logos is the word of God. This is the general word of God. But you know what? From time to time, as we're reading the general word of God, he makes a specific word for us. That becomes a on time, in season, right now, for you, tailor-made, for you kind of word. That becomes a rhema word. And when she said, let it be to me according to your word, she said, let it be to me according to your rhema, because you're speaking to my heart right now. You're speaking something very, very specific into me right now. Let it be to me according to that word. God has a plan. I want that plan. Even if it means that my potentially future husband is going to try and divorce me. Because when you go back and you read Matthew's account, he says he tried to put her away secretly. Because she came and told him, she says, I'm pregnant. A what? What do you mean you're pregnant? God. Yeah, right. God? But the angel had to come and speak to him too. And say to him, don't be afraid to take her. Because the one that is in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. Take Mary as your wife. Mary, don't worry about trying to figure out how you're going to figure out life. I'll figure out life for you. I'll work out the details and the problems for you. What I want you to do is simply follow me along the journey. Follow me along the path, and I will work all things out. That's my promise for you. I want you to receive grace. I want that grace to grow inside of you, and I want that grace to be delivered through you. And this is where, I'm done. This is where Jesus speaks to us in John chapter 10, verse 10. Where he says, I came that I might give them life, and life more abundant kind of life. The abundant kind of life is not the one that's distant or hesitant from God. That's not the abundant life. The abundant life is not the one that is very, very consistent in coming to church and being active in church. That's not the abundant kind of life. The abundant life is not having a successful business or career and making lots of money and having a beautiful family. That's not the abundant kind of life. Those are nice things, but that's not the abundant kind of life that he's talking about. The abundant life is the one that is completely open to God, saying, do to me according to your word, whatever you want to do in my life. And that's where joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Go back, and this is your homework for today. Go back and read what's called the Magnificat. Go back and read what Mary says when she meets with Elizabeth. And her praise, and declaring her praise to God, saying, I praise the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and I rejoice in God, my Savior. Why? She's saying, because I took the first steps in following after him. And when I did, there was this incredible joy that began to spring up on the inside of me. Oh, I know I'm carrying the Son of God on the inside, and the seed is in me, in here. But there's an incredible joy that comes along knowing that I'm walking in step, walking in sync with Almighty God, because he goes before me and he begins to open up paths before me. He goes before me and he makes a way where there is no way. And he is my Savior. He is my Lord. But I'm also learning that he's also my friend and my guide. I may not have a large bank account, but I've got joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Because I said, let it be to me according to your rhema. Let it be to me according to your word. I pray today that we as a church, and those that are watching right now, I pray that we would say, let it be to me according to God's word. God, you're extending grace towards me. I receive your grace. It's a free gift. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, and I thank you for it. You want it to grow? I'm going to find someone that I can connect with and grow with that person and walk in faith and in faithfulness. And when I stumble, I'll get up again, because a righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again. When I stumble, I'll get up again, and I'll continue down that journey. Because I want Jesus to be delivered through my life. When people see, they don't see me, yet not I, but Christ in me. Amen. Can we pray together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful story that you give us in Mary, Lord. You turn the one whose name means rebellion into one who is faithful and all generations now call her blessed, the Blessed Virgin Mary. You took the ordinary and did something extraordinary. You took the humble and you exalted the humble. And you graced her with the most amazing gift to be a carrier of the Son of God. Lord, I pray for that same miracle to happen in our lives today. That those who are hearing this message who have never received grace, the free gift of God's goodness, would receive that now. Choosing to believe that you're not angry, you're not distant, you're not cold, but you are very present. You are very active. You are very much alive. And you love. You love so much. Pray that you would give the ability, Lord God, the openness to receive that grace and humbly say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to take the steps necessary to begin to walk it out. And to allow that seed to begin to grow and to flourish. As it transforms our lives, we begin to transform the world around us. For that seed to finally be delivered through us every day. Every day. As we hear cursings, we speak blessings. As we hear about death, we speak life. As we hear of destruction, we speak restoration. Because it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Make that a reality for each of us, Lord God. In Jesus' name.